Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
It's a great privilege to be here. And most of my time I spend either laughing or crying. hopefully laughing and rejoicing. And I want to share really a little bit. I feel like this morning, like it's like that. There's so much of scripture I just want to throw out there, like exocet scripture at you, just faith and truth of who you are in Christ. And one of the blessings is that we, you know, I think I'll mention it a bit later on. But if I look at myself, I'm going to get depressed. Yeah, but if I look at who I am in Christ, and who I am in the Spirit, and what I have in Christ in the Spirit, I get excited. Amen. Amen. So that's where we're going. So in a sense, but I really wanted to unpack a little bit of this process. You know, I've been involved with people. Some of the leaders this afternoon will be looking at some of the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the absolutely, completely nutty that happens with you in pastoral circumstances and situations. But for me, what's the most important thing for me is my primary relationship with the Lord. You see, that relationship of God has made me, who I am in Him. I'm holy, loved, healed, blessed, you know, chosen in Him, is that primary relationship is the one that undergirds my whole life. And in a sense, I haven't got to try and perform, I haven't got to try and be anybody else, because I can be completely free to be who I am in Christ. And I just want to share just a few scriptures first, and really the setting the scene. Some of these scriptures of God has just done something in my heart where He's actually spoken these personally to me. Psalm 27, this is the New Living Translation now. I'm going to throw out a few translations. So have mercy on me in this. Listen to this. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Yeah? Everything that we do, every expression of life and love comes out of that relationship of love. You see, if I'm insecure and I haven't got hold of the truth, what basically happens is I take that insecurity into a relationship. And I relate out of that insecurity, rather relating out of the fullness of who I have in Christ. And so for me, God's been doing a number on me, and over the last couple of years, I'm going to have to go there because I want to show you that if you've ever reached rock bottom, God is able. God is able to pick you up, and God is able to lift you up, and it's all a work of His grace. And another one that I love is in 1 John 4:19. This is the truth version. We love because we are responding to His great love. We're responding. He has taken the initiative. Amen. He has taken the initiative to break through, in a sense, heaven, to come down here on earth, to be born as a son by the Holy Spirit, to live the life of frailty, but live in total obedience, in a sense, to the Father. And that life and that obedience and that victory has won for us an eternal destiny of favor, breakthrough, not only for our own lives, but for someone else. And this is another one, Psalm 25, verse 14. Friendship with the Lord is revered, reserved for those who fear Him. With them He shares the secrets of His covenant. You see, what God wants to really, you know, it's really sort of impressing on my heart over these last few months is being on a platform doesn't switch me on. Being in ministry doesn't switch me on. But Jesus switches me on. Do you understand what I mean by that? I'm not living to stand on a platform. I'm not living to be something because Christ has already made me something. a child of God. I'm not living. And so in a sense, there's a pump and a heartbeat, and I can't express it anything more than I want to know Christ. I want to know you, Lord. My passion, my desire, everything of who you are. And this is partly, this is where the journey starts for me. A couple of years ago, in Faith Camp, I got to a stage where I'd, because I sometimes, when you deal with problems all the time, you can have a real distorted view of humanity. You know, sometimes it winds me up at home. I can sit there and they can, you know, I can sit and watch a real television program, and it's like I know what's going off in someone's life. It just winds me up. I can't switch off who I am. Do you understand that? You just know. And it got to a stage a couple of years ago when we'd gone through a real tough time, and God was just doing a number on me. And I sat down, because you know, in Faith Camp in the caravans, you know, you can't, you know, swing a cat in there, you know. So I go and sit in the car and take my flask with me. I wish it was hot chocolate, but Rachel wouldn't allow me to have hot chocolate, so it has to be tea. And I sit down there with the Lord, and I'm with the Lord, and in that place, and I start, you know, I just start reading. And this is going to sound really bad, isn't it? To my surprise, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And this is what I started to read. It's in Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24, New Living Translation. Psalm 37 says, "The steps of the godly are directed by the Lord. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will not fall. For the Lord holds them by the hand." Yeah? "Though they stumble, they will not fall." And as I began to just speak out this scripture, now I wasn't in a place of, you know, oh God, your glory is going to come now, and you're, you know, it was totally unexpected what happened. As I began to speak out, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, and I was speaking the word out. The presence of God just filled the car. And I began to blub. This is my second blubbing. I told Pastor Judith about my first blubbing the other day. My second major, I was overwhelmed by the love of God. He just turned up in the car. Now, there's a reason for this. And the reason is, what then happened? When you actually hear the Lord say to you, now this isn't going to be heresy. What the Lord actually said was, he says, "Gary, I delight in every detail of your life." He wasn't saying everything in your life's looking good and dandy, Gary. I'm really impressed. You know what I mean? Everything's really going great, guys. Yeah, really doing well. It was, "Gary, I delight in every detail of your life." And what God did, he kind of just broke something. Because I realized that what happened is, and this is the challenge when we come with love, when we can to come to loving people. I got busy and busier and busier. And actually what happened, there was just a disconnection with the intimacy with God. I had replaced busyness for my relationship with the Lord. And God's son, he began to just sort almost like do a number on me in that process. So as I began to listen to the Lord's voice, he led me to another scripture. And I know I can't read all of it today, but do you remember Mary and Martha? And in the Truth Version, Luke 10, verse 41 and 42, the Lord replied, "Martha, Martha, you get so easily anxious and upset. Only one thing is really important, and this is what Mary is doing. So I certainly won't drive her away, deprive her of what is the most important, to listen to what I say." The more that I began to hear what the voice of God was saying, how crazy do you think? You know, You're a pastor. Isn't it your, aren't you supposed to be busy? But really, God, what he did is he just put his finger right into the deep place of my heart. And because he loves me so much, he put his finger in. And what happened there? There was a whole process of stuff that began to then change. And I was, I'm a great friend of Pastor Dave Shipham. I love him. And actually, I actually turned up at camp quite a broken man. And there was quite a lot of stuff that was going on in my life. And bless him, God sent the right person along to me. And I really love him. I honor that man. He's very funny because we have lots of fun together. But there was something because he'd also walked where I was walked. Do you know when you don't want to meet another Christian? You don't want to hear another problem? You know, and it's like, you know, it's almost like it gets to a point and you realize something's gone wrong. You know, because, you know, it's almost like you feel like you're a problem magnet. You know, you stand up and they come to you, you know what I mean? You're just overwhelmed. And what was I realizing? I realized that I'd lost that dependency on the Holy Spirit. I was realizing I'd lost that closeness and that intimacy with God. And yet in his love, and bless him, Pastor Dave was, you know, I love him for this and I honor him for this. He gave me a book, advised me to get a couple of books by Wayne Cordera, Running on Empty. It's not advisable to do, by the way. Has anybody had a car that's run out of petrol? It's not a great plan, is it? The vehicle's there, but you don't go anywhere. And my car had come to a standstill. You know, I'd actually come to a point where, you know, this is, you know, we've been married 25 years this year. I always say to people, you know, this is marriage is fantastic. The bit that's missing is the two children. They're the bits that are missing. Looking after the church is fine. It's just the kids, you know. That's the bit that's missing. And Pastor Colin blessed him the other day. I was up in ministry and he talked about God really knowing that a number of hairs on the head. And he looked at me and he goes, "It's a bit less for you today, isn't there, Gary?" And I was like, "Thank you very much, Pastor Colin. Love you anyway, but I don't like, you know what I'm saying. It's just so funny. Thank you. We can rejoice and not take things personally." Now, he advised me to read a book and this, in a sense, is what, you know, I just really want to, there's a bit that I want to read from this book. I've never been to the Yosemite National Park. Has anybody been there? It's where the big redwoods are, the huge redwoods. You know, these massive trees where you can drive a car through. Like, always, like in America, everything's 15 times bigger than they are in England. We've got a twig, do you know what I mean? And they've got huge trees. And these redwoods are absolutely massive. And what they'd found was, so they're about 200 feet tall, so they're not tiny things. And what they'd found is that two of these trees had dropped. You know, they're probably between 350 and 700 years old, the age of these trees, and two of them had absolutely crashed. Now, what they worked out is one tree had taken out another tree. And what did they put it down to? The park rangers had deduced that one of these tree roots had been damaged by foot traffic around the base and had taken the other tree down with it when it fell. They proceeded to put something called a sacred fence around the base of the other big trees to ensure the root systems would be protected. What does this illustrate? See, what had happened with me, there was an erosion that had happened on the base of my tree. The foot traffic in my root system has basically worn away. Now, praise God, this tree didn't crash. Now, it was for the grace of God that it didn't. But when you've been there, boy, do you know the Lord's love. Boy, do you actually understand people. You actually understand the mercy of God and the grace of God. And so what they had to put this like fence round, and they called it a sacred fence. And there's so many pressures, you know, family, kids, you know, work, everything, so many pressures. But what I had allowed to happen in my own personal life was I'd allowed this erosion to take place. You know, like on a wave, when you know that comes into the side of the cliff. You know that erosion takes place very slowly. It's a very tiny bit each time, and you don't know it's happening until there comes a point when there's nothing to support the actual cliff. And so God in his love basically brought me to a place where I couldn't do this stuff anymore in my own strength. I had to secure something, not only for the future of my life, but the future of my marriage, for the future of my children. And I had to kind of ring fence above everything else my relationship with the Lord. And you see, Jesus said to, you know, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried about and upset about many things, but a few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and what would not be taken from her. Mary chose to keep her intimacy and our time with Jesus as our number one priority. And I just want to encourage everyone here in going forward, in as the church grows, as it blossoms, as what you do in God here, keeping Jesus the number one priority, keeping that place of intimacy with Jesus, not allowing the, you know, because you're rooted and established in love, aren't you? Amen. You're rooted and established in love, not allowing people to tread over that place that only you have in God, and only that you can take responsibility for. And we are planted in him, and we need to guard our roots and what is sacred. That is something that is done. That is something that is not done forward. It's something that we need to choose. We need to keep that place where of intimacy with God. That's just kind of a tiny, tiny bit of an introduction. That's like 2 years squeezed into about 10 minutes of a process that God has worked in me. But the point that I'm going to start now, this is where I'm going to get the exorcists of truth now come out. So the bazookas are now going to start coming. I want you to understand, you see, that even someone in ministry, even someone that's been a Christian or that have even going through all the seasons that we have of brokenness, worship, breakthrough, testings, I'd realized that I had allowed my root system to get damaged. And I'm only saying that today to encourage you that for those that are feeling, you know, discouraged, or that you know in your heart that God wants you to restore to that place, his grace is sufficient for you, and his power is made perfect in weakness. He knows who you are, he loves you, and he wants to lift you back and strengthen you. Yeah. And so, Colossians 2, verse 10. As I said before, in Christ you have been given the fullness of his life. Just say fullness of life. Fullness of life. Amen. You have been given the fullness of life. Christ in you is now living in your spirit. Yeah? So when we look at what we have in the spirit, everybody seen, do you remember seeing Basil Brush when you were little? Those who see Basil Brush, you know what I mean? We laugh. We can rejoice. Because every time we look at what we have in the Spirit, what we have in the Spirit is completely limitless. Amen? Because Christ is in us. The one who is limitless is living inside us, not limited. In my soul, I can't do diddly squat. No, I can't love anybody in a sense in my soul. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So in my soul, I can't love someone in a sense, but the love of God can flow through my spirit and out through my soul to touch people, to touch the broken, to touch the needy, to touch the hurting. And so in a sense, what's really important in your kingdom relationships And as you see them built up and as you see them developed, always look to what you have in Christ. Always look to what you have. Always, always look. You know, sometimes we've got to be proactive in girding. It's not because of our self-effort, you know, trying to do this in our striving. But, you know, we gird ourselves with truth, don't we? We say, Jesus, thank you. I'm holy, loved, healed, accepted, you know, chosen by God, called by God. Every time we focus on the reality of what Jesus has done for us and who we are, there's something rises, not pride, but Christ in us. We're looking at what we already have. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we already have this treasure of glory in our bodies, which are but jars by comparison. It is even that this power is greater than any other power and is already within us, a gift from God, not something we could produce ourselves. We have, just say, I have. This treasure. Amen. You have this treasure already in you today. And what God has done is, you know, as in the dynamics of our relationships, in the dynamics of loving one another, Jesus is asking, he says, don't look at yourself. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at your past. Yeah? Your past does not define your relationships now. Amen. And I'm going to give you, can I borrow a couple of guys? Neil, Andrew, can I borrow you as well? Just want to show you something. You just sort of stand at the front here. Just stand here. I want to give you an example of this. Just stand together, okay? Be gentle with me, Neil, all right? What happens is sometimes with people is, you know, they go through a situation and say this is the circumstances they face. And sometimes I just, okay, huddle in a little bit. Okay, I'm going to try and get through. Now, let me through in a minute, lads, all right? So, because it's not going to happen otherwise, is it, Neil? I know what you do. You'd spit me out, wouldn't you? I know what you do. And, you know, in a sense, when we come, sometimes people come through different difficult circumstances, and they push, okay, let me through now, lads, let me through! Now, the circumstances, okay, let me through. God, you can't choose the team, can you? So these are the circumstances here. The circumstances are bad enough, but what really the enemy tends to use is when we come out of this side of the circumstances, what he does is he produces a lie. And the lie, you know, we could have had experiences of relationships and we've gone through stuff like that, but he produces a lie. And you see, the power of that lie, we no longer now need to live in the power of the lie that's come through those circumstances. Because as you focus on the truth, Jesus said the truth will set you free. The truth that you're loved, secure, holy, blessed in your relationship. You don't need to live, you know, I don't need to live, you know, in a sense, thank you guys, appreciate it, thank you. I don't need to live, you know, I've made mistakes with my children. Me and Rachel have gone through incredible brokenness, incredible pain, you know, certainly with our daughter. Walked through the toughest things, but I'm not living in the power of guilt and shame. Shame is not living on my life because the shame was placed on Jesus. The shame was placed on him that I could be free from that shame. So the power, because all the enemy wants to do is remind us of our past, but God always wants to remind us of our future, of who we are now. Amen. So I don't need to, we walk through traumas, things happen, but as you come out the other side of it, don't buy into a lie. Don't, just because you've had a negative experience, that doesn't need to define the way that you walk. That doesn't need to be. You know, you could have been rejected. You could have, you know, come through that situation and faced incredible rejection. It doesn't mean now that you are a rejected person. It means that the power of that lie in the name of Jesus is broken off of your life. Rejection has already been dealt with 2,000 years ago on the cross. Rejection is dealt with because he bore our sins. He bore our infirmity. The life we now live, we live by faith in what he has done. So in a sense, our future doesn't need to be defined by those things that have happened as we've walked through those tough circumstances. Amen. And it's really, really exciting because it means you can love again. Amen. You can be free not to Pepe. You ever seen Pepe Le Pew? He's a cartoon character, French skunk. Long story, very funny. If you Google it, it really is worth a while. It's just the most funniest cartoon character that you've ever seen in your life. He's basically a little skunk that falls in love with a cat that happens to get, unfortunately, brush herself up to a white mark on her back, and he thinks she's another skunk. And he pursues her relentlessly. You know, the passion. But, you know, you don't need to live in the past of this, you know, rejection. Your relationships now can be whole. Because God has made you whole. God has made you holy now. You know, so in a sense, in relationships, you know, I praise God. You know, Galatians 2 verse 20, I have been crucified together with Christ. The person I was no longer lives, but now Christ lives in me. We put so much emphasis on the other one, I no longer live. I think God wants us to put the emphasis on, but Christ lives in me. Amen. So much emphasis, I no longer live. You know, I'm a joyous Christian. I no longer live. I was really happy before I got saved. I no longer live. Do you know what I mean? No, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. And that's really, that's what makes me excited. So I'm not living. You know, I tell you guys, I've stuffed up as many times as you can imagine. Things have gone off in my life. I haven't, you know, if the enemy wanted to play one with me, you know, certainly with our daughter, we went through, we hit the gates of hell at some point, didn't we? We actually, Jesus, if I come out of this alive, in a sense. You know, the enemy wanted to kill our daughter, steal her, literally take her out. Worst case scenario you can ever face with a parent, you see. But I refuse. I refuse to live in the power of any shame and guilt. Amen. Because I know, even if I've got something wrong, the blood of Jesus has cleansed me. The blood of Jesus makes me whole. The blood of Jesus, you know, in a sense, what Paul was talking about with, you know, when he talked about being forgiven, we need to know this. When you actually see, you know, all the stuff that we've done wrong, God doesn't just come and put a big, big cross on the sheet and all the stuff's still there. It's all gone. Oh man, the whole lot is completely wiped away. He's not even looking at the residue of it. But that's what the enemy does. He tries to remind you all of the past, of all the stuff that's happened. So, what does it mean to live in Christ? I got this from Pastor Colin this week and I'm so excited because it's in me now. You ready for this? If I'm in Jesus, he's over me. Okay, sorry. If I'm in Jesus, he's over me. Amen. He's under me, and I'll show you what I mean. He's in front of me. He's behind me. He's on my right hand, and he's on my left hand. I am continuously in him and continuously surrounded by him. Amen. Why? He watches over me. He's over me because he watches over me, and he reigns over me. That's what it means to be in Christ. He's under me. The scripture said he desires to lift me up in order to lift me up into the everlasting arms of the Father. Amen. I think it's exciting. He's before me because he's my good shepherd. And he goes and he leads me. He's behind me to protect me, to guard me, to keep me from the evil one. Amen. The glory of the Lord is your rear guard. Amen. He's behind me. He is at your right hand to equip and enable me to do the will of God. He is on my left hand to comfort me and strengthen me, especially in the time of need. We have to be convinced that our kingdom life and relationships are not based on our limited resources. Amen. Why? Because you're in Christ. He's over me, under me, right and left and front and back and lifting me up. That's the truth. That's the truth. And it sank in afresh this week again. And I was really happy with that. Imagine the amount of in Christ teaching I've heard in 25 years or 20 odd years of Pastor Colin. We breathed in Christ. And yet this week was another one. And I got it again. Amen. But you are. If you're in Christ, you're not a disaster. You're loved. If you're in Christ, He goes before you. He's prepared a table before you, even in the presence of your enemies. I'm getting excited now because I think you're starting to get it. See, we have to be convinced that our kingdom life and relationships are not based on our limited resources of our souls. Our human love is limited. His agape love is limitless. Yeah, limitless. If you've got a restriction on your thinking of how, you know, how you can love someone, I can't love that person. Stop looking at yourself. Do you understand what I mean? But I can't do that. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Do you remember that years ago, there's this Bob Newhart thing on television, and I just love it. Just stop it. We've got to stop it. We've got to stop looking at the past. We've got to stop looking at the lack. We've got to stop looking. Just stop it. And start looking at everything that we have. Amen. Jesus tells of this. This is the John 15, verse 4 and 5. This is the amplified version. Dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Live in me and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from my vital, from the vital union with me, you can do nothing. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. However, the fruit the Spirit produces in you is love, peace, joy, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no such law against such things. What is the outworking of the life of the Holy Spirit in our lives? What do these kingdom relationships look like? How are these really worked out and expressed? Now, you've heard this before. It is faith working through love. We are living by faith in everything He has accomplished and by the power of His Holy Spirit. It's faith. We're living by faith in every victory, everything that He has already won for us. We're living by faith. The outworking of this love. What does the world have to offer us? And you know, you may have heard this before. This is kind of a false equation that the world offers. Performance and accomplishments equals significance. Status and recognition equals security. Appearance and admiration equals acceptance. Yeah? How many people, you know, want status and recognition? How many people leave churches because they don't get the position that they want and the status that they want, when the reality is you are already significant? Yeah, you are already accepted. You're already, in a sense, secure. If you're in Christ and he's over you, he's under you, he's before you, he's behind you, he's to your right and to your left, he's your security. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. He is your security. And so what we got to be careful of is we've got to be careful of not buying into the world's thinking in relationships. You know, in Romans it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, that transformation, that renewing of our mind happens, You know, as we, God, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you that your truth, I thank you for that spirit of truth that lives in me, that expresses that truth to me, that shows me who I am. I don't need to live. I don't need to live out of performance and accomplishments. I don't need to live out appearance of admiration. I do have a laugh because me and Pete, you know, used to be in, you know, Pete's still in the worship team. But you're never going to see me and Pete on the front cover of a Kingdom Faith, Kingdom Faith worship album. It's not going to happen. There might be one in heaven, but it ain't going to happen on earth. This is not going to be a negative statement because I'm getting thinner. But you're not going to have a couple of fatties on the front of the, you know, saying, it's not going to work. If it did, we would have been there. Do you know what I'm saying is? It's not how I look like. Yeah, praise God. And you're going, God, praise God for that, Gary, yeah. Rachel still loves me. God still loves me. That's all that matters. Amen. I just want to convince you of this. In Romans 8 verse 4, this is the truth version. Just listen to this. In Christ, all the demands God expressed in the law, in the laws he gave, were fulfilled. So that now we live in the good of what he accomplished. He succeeded where we had all failed miserably. So that now we can live as if we had succeeded. His success has become our success. So long as we no longer live in the weakness of our old sinful nature, but now live led and filled by God's Spirit. Amen. He is our success. He's the success in our relationships. He's the success. In John 14, verse 15 to 17, Jesus kind of narrows this down in quite a sobering way. He says, the evidence that you love me will be seen in the way that you obey what I command you to do. To enable this obedience, when I return to heaven, I will ask the Father to replace me with another counselor exactly like me, who will remain with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world can't receive him because those who belong to the world neither see the way he works, nor do they know him. But you know him, for the Spirit of truth lives within you and soon will be in you. Amen. We can't love people in the natural. Have you got hold of that today? We can love people out of the fullness. And as we keep our eyes of him in the fullness, what's the characteristic of this love? The characteristic of this love is this, 1 Corinthians 13. These are the qualities of the love of God gives. His love in us enables us to be patient and kind. We're motivated by this love. We do not envy others, neither do we boast, nor are we proud. God's love in us is not rude. It's not self-seeking. We are not roused to anger quickly. And we certainly do not keep a mental record of the wrongs others have committed. And that's a tough one for me. Because what I tend to do is, even in the reality of, I'll explain something. Are we all right for time, Pastor Judith? Are we okay? Okay. Even in the reality of some of the stuff that's happened, I'll explain a practical thing that happened in a situation. Sometimes, has anybody ever let you down? Yeah. You know, and you know you pour your life into someone, or you pour your life into a situation and you help, and ultimately they let you down and they do something that they shouldn't do. And God's love is so powerful in you that you're, you know, yes, you're going to need, you know, there's a wisdom with people, I understand that. But God's love is so powerful in you that he enables you not to, you know, even when you meet with that person afterwards, that you see them through the eyes of love. And you don't filter this whole thing that, you know, you know, I'm not coming near you again in case I get my head bitten off or my arms and legs drop off. But he is able, And you're able to do immeasurably more than you can ever ask or imagine to love again someone that's really hurt you. And I'll explain. And because you see, it's not based on my effort. Oh, God. It's not based on what I can do. It's based on Him and His Holy Spirit. It's based on everything on the abundance. Those who truly love always protect others. They always trust and are always full of hope. They always persevere regardless of the circumstances. So God's love never fails us. We had a time when I lost my dad 3 years ago. And it was quite a, you know, losing your dad's quite a big thing, quite a painful period of time. And you know, I got to cry and laugh with my mum a lot through that time and all what we went through. And I can remember the last thing that my dad said to me, because he was more concerned about his car than anything else. He was on his deathbed. You know, he's blessed him, he's dying with cancer, and I saw his last breath go and all of that stuff. And he said, Gary, he said, look after the car. You know, look after the car. Now, a few years later, I comes into a position where we're helping one of these guys, and you know, young guy, he's about 27, 28, come from a whole drug scene, broken, busted up. I call him Fred, right? His name's not Fred, but I call him Fred. And every part of me, somewhere, you know, I began sowing into this guy's life. I began to love him, spend time with him, just see him getting set free from everything that he was living in, you know, and just meeting with God. And it's been a bit of a roller coaster. And praise God, he's at the Bible school now. Thank you, Jesus. You know, second time, yeah. We won't go there. But all I can say was, you know, he needed work and that. And so what was my heart going to be in this situation? I loved him. You know, the litmus test of love. And they said the litmus test is care. And so it was like, okay, what am I going to do? So I said to Rachel, like, I'm just going to lend him a car, you know, just to get to work so he can get work. He pranged the front of the car. He pranged the back of the car. He got me a parking ticket that he never paid for. Do you know? You know, hundreds of pounds worth of damage on this car. And everybody goes, oh, Gary, you shouldn't have done that, should you? You know what I mean? They all stand back, don't they, and tell you what you shouldn't have done afterwards. And do you know what? God, you know, God said to me, Gary, he just said, the way that you love him, he knows, he put the stuff right in a sense of, he said, sorry. You know? You know, I'd already ordered the firing squad. I'd already chosen the people that were going to shoot him. You know, I'd already booked them, and we were going to have one evening when it would happen. You know, and then you get those words, not I, but Christ. And he said, Gary, have you ever messed up? Don't do that to me! Have you ever done anything wrong? Have you been forgiven? No, don't want to hear that one. And you see, now he's in the church and he's in the Bible school. You see, I have to look at him through the eyes of love. I don't. Morning, Fred. You know, like, morning, Fred, car wrecker. Nice to meet you this morning. You really stuffed up my life for about 6 months, but praise God, car wrecker. I'm carrying it in my heart towards you, mate. Car wrecker. Do you understand? Do you understand? No, Andrew, sorry, I'm using you as a... David, sorry. Andrew, because of David, sorry. David, Andrew. David. It's the temperature. But just what I'm saying. We hold on to things. And you see, I couldn't hold on to it. Because whose love was I going to be... How was I going to be loving this person? With my love? I wanted to string him up. I wanted my pound of flesh. And Jesus said, forgive him. He said sorry. He's asked for forgiveness. Have I forgiven him, Gary? God, you have. Have I forgiven him? Yes, will you forgive him? I want to share just before I finish, just as two scriptures, okay, time. In Titus 3, verse 3, there was a time when we ourselves were foolish, disobedient, easily led astray, more than ready to satisfy our lusts and fleshly desires. We did what was evil, envying others. We were hated by others and hated them in return. But when our God and Savior's kindness and love were revealed, he saved us, not by any works of our self-righteousness, but through his own mercy. He saved us by washing away our past and giving us a new birth, by making us new through the Holy Spirit that he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. What's the kingdom attitude that permeates Christ's body? What marks God's people a light to the world? You see, what marks your life is that you're marked by mercy. You've known what it is to do wrong, and you know what it is to be forgiven, and you know what it is to be healed and saved and loved and not judged. You see, what's going to mark this church is the mark of that revelation. You remember Jesus said, you know, to the ladies, you know, when all the disciples got really upset with her because she was pouring this wonderful ointment out. She poured out all that she had, and they got really angry with her. You know, she's weeping. She loves much because she's been forgiven much. And you see, your kingdom relationships, you love much because you've been forgiven much. And the fragrance of that love, when you touch your unsaved relatives, people at work, the fragrance of that love is mercy. It's not judgment. It's not condemnation. It's not self-righteousness. It's not guilt. It's not shame. But it's mercy. See, when we worship God, every time we meet with him, we're marked by his mercy. We're actually marked by his majesty. And we're also marked by his mercy. And I just want to encourage every one of you. I just felt that today has been about painting a big paintbrush to remind you of everything that you know. But you're marked by God. And keep looking at him and what you have in the spirit, not looking at your self effort. I couldn't love this person. You know, I was saying to Pastor Judith, when we had my mum come and live with us, and we brought her into our home, and it's been quite a challenge for Rachel, having our mum live with us. And I had, you know, this is the other experience I had of God's love. I was walking her down the aisles of some budging store in Holbeach, and it was just a little bit of time after the funeral, and as she was walking away, and she was just, you know, she's picking up her 15th tin of lemon tea. She's stacking for the second coming. You know what I mean? The trolley is about takes 16 men to push the trolley around, and when I was with her and I was just standing back for a bit, I experienced again, you know, God just turned up in the middle of budgings. And I said, God, you're having a laugh. Not now, Lord. Please don't do this to me now. And all I can say to you is it was like the most powerful, deep love that you can ever imagine. And it just literally felt like it sat on me for 1 minute. It was about how much as I could bear, actually, in my human body. That 1 minute, it felt like that. And I was just overwhelmed. I was crying. You know, she was like, chuck it in, chuck it in, chuck it in. And I was just crying there. And I'm, Jesus, Jesus. And this love. And Lord just said to me, Gary, he said, that's the love I have for your mum. What you're feeling now, what you're experiencing, is the power of this love. The depth of this love. And you can love because I'm in you. So it wasn't based on an emotional response, but it was just like God. So today, amen, as you go forward in these relationships, don't let the past define love. Don't let the devil remind you of failure, because all of that failure is now under the blood. Don't let mistakes. We made bad mistakes with our children. We, you know, who's got family here? who's got children, yeah, you understand? We made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake. I don't walk around them as a mistake. I don't walk around under the shadow of a being a mistake. I walk around knowing that I'm chosen, loved, accepted. Amen.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.